top this.
Presented by the Colgate Palmolive Feed Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, and Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream for a smoother, more comfortable way to shave. And here is Colgate Palmolive Feed Company's master of ceremonies, Dennis James.
Well, good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This? Our unrehearsed Woody Whippersnappers with Ward Wilson pinch hitting for Senator Ford.
Yeah, good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Laurie Jr.
Hello.
And here's the people's representative, our storytelling genius, Peter Donald, to tell the first joke of the evening, which comes from Mrs. I. Henrick of New York, New York. And it's on the subject of hats, gentlemen. That covers just about everything. Go ahead, Peter Donald, take it.
Well, this is about a great big Amazon of a woman, and she's picking on her husband, having an argument. And she said, Hercules?
He says, yes, Petunia, what's on your mind?
He said, I'm really ashamed to go out with you anymore. I'm ashamed to walk with you on the street. Now look at the terrible-looking hat you're wearing. I think it's high time that you bought yourself a new one.
Well, he says, dear, I don't want to get a hat. I got a swell hat now.
She said, well, maybe you like it, but don't you think it's a little outmoded with a ribbon around it that says, Welcome Home, the Rough Riders, don't you? Think maybe... She said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I will take you shopping with me today. We'll go down to the hat store. The clerks are very efficient, very courteous. We'll buy you a new hat.
So they go down this hat store, and the clerk, first of all, puts a fedora on the guy.
He says, yeah, this is nice with the blue ribbon. I'll take this one.
She said, no, you won't. No, you won't. You'll find something much more distinguished. Clerk, will you bring some Hamburgs?
So they put about 15 Hamburgs on the guy.
He says, listen, I still like the one with the blue ribbon, if you don't...
She said, no, 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 we'll find something that's very stylish.
So they start putting on this guy derbies and snap rims and Panamas and straw hats and everything like this. Every kind of hat imaginable. At the finish, he says, listen, he says, they're all lovely hats, honey, but he says, I want the little one with the blue ribbon.
She said, oh, very well. All right, if you must have your way, we'll take that one. But, clerk, she says, before you put the hat in the box, would you mind cutting two holes in the brim?
He says, holes in the brim, madam? Why?
She says, because my husband is such a stubborn jackass, he has to have holes for his ears to go through.
All right, that Colgate Palmolive laugh meter read a big round 1,000, so we've got the thing all started for Mrs. Hendrick. It's an automatic $25. Our three wits will just have to try to tie it. And the first one is Ward Wilson, so go ahead, Ward.
I was thinking of one. I don't know whether this is... I'll toss one in for nothing. One that I was thinking of first. The fellow that goes up to Bob Ripley's office, believe it or not, and he has a stovepipe hat on that out Lincoln. It was up about 2 feet in the air. So he walked up to this dumb receptionist at the desk, bowed very politely, and he took off this big high top hat, and there's a bunch of tulips growing right out the top of his head. He said, may I speak to you, miss? He said, yeah, what do you want? He says, I would like to see Mr. Ripley, please.
Did you? What about?
That's the one I threw in, and you can throw it right out of
here. So just go on like nothing happened, Ward. Just continue.
I won't wait, Betty.
All right.
This one's about the goof that was going to go in the Army, and he hit one of those hard-boiled sergeants who was giving him an IQ test, and he went through a whole rigmarole with him. He said, now imagine you're an actual combat soldier. He said, suppose a bullet whizzes by and takes off one of your ears. What would happen? Says, I'd go right on fighting. Says, well, suppose you went right on fighting. Then another bullet came along, shot off your other ear. What would happen? Says, I'd go blind. Says, you'd go blind. Why? Says, my hat would fall down over my eyes.
That's more like Tuli, 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 Tulip time, boy. That's the 1,000. That's more like it. All right. It's little Joe Laurie Jr. next.
Well, this fella comes into a hat store. And this is kind of a goof. And the fellow says, what can I do for you? He says, I'd like to get a hat. He says, you come to the right place. He says, what size, please? He says, I says, size 8. He says, size 8. So his partner says, we haven't got an 8. He says, shut up. Try this on for size. So he gives him a 7. He says, that's too small. Look at it. Read it. He says, push it down a little bit. He says, no. He says, look, let me push it a little bit. And he pushes it. And the fellow says, oh, stop. You know, when he pushed the weight down, he says, there, that fits you. He says, no, this thing is, oh, it's giving me a headache. Look, oh, it's tight now. He says, give it a little more push. push it again.
Says, no, I don't want to buy it here. And he walks out.
So the fellow says to his partner, says, what did you do? What you did to the customer? You knew we didn't have a size 8. He says, is that so? Now we got a size 8.
Okay, Joe. You know, I'll tell you what the score is. It was 1,000 on the Colgate Palm Olive Laugh Meter, but I'm convinced so far at this point that only goofs buy hats or something.
No, they're all buying them now.
Okay, go ahead, Harry. You
smart
tell.
Man.
Well, I got one about a goofy detective. I want to throw this in.
There it is again.
Throw this in first. A detective is taking a fellow to jail. So he's walking him down the street, and when they get to a corner, a sudden wind comes up and takes the prisoner's hat and blows it down the street, and the prisoner makes a lunge to go ahead and get it. He says, no, you don't, wise guy. He says to the prisoner, you stand where you are, I'll run and get it. What I will tell now is a woman is walking down the street and a big flower pot from the fourth floor falls on her head. Wham! And the flowers and the leaves and the dirt got all over her face and she was naturally groggy. She was groggy for about 3 blocks with this flower pot and these things hanging all over. That night, two women were discussed, and one says, is that Miss Levere? Oh, boy, is she a dame. Oh, she. I saw her on the street today, staggering with the lousiest hat on you ever saw. Was she drunk?
Okay, brother, that does it. That completes the first round, and checking over it, it's a perfect round. Peter Donald got the first 1,000, followed by the three wits, and so we send Mrs. Henrik $25 with the compliments of Palm Olive Shave Creams, plus a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. And now here's Dan Donaldson with the biggest shaving news in history.
3 men out of every 4 get more comfortable, actually smoother shaves the Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream way. Yes, 3 men out of every 4 get more comfortable, actually smoother shaves the Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream way. This is not just a promise, not just a claim. 1,297 men tried the new different Palmolive brushless way to shave. And no matter how they shaved before, 79% found beards easier to cut. 75% got less razor pull. 69% closer shaves. 82% smoother feeling skin. And 3 men out of every 4 got more comfortable, actually smoother shaves. But you be the judge. Try the new Palmolive brushless way to shave. Just do this. Wash your face with soap and water. Rinse. Soap your face thoroughly again and apply Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream, smoothing it upward into your beard to get the full benefit of Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream's beard conditioning effect. Then shave. That's all. But remember, Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream offers you proof that 3 men out of every 4 get more comfortable, actually smoother shaves the Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream way.
And now, once again, to continue our contest of wit and humor, gentlemen, here's a joke which was sent in by Mrs. Harriet S. France of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's on the subject of rivals. You all have it?
Rifles?
No, rivals. Enemies,
all right.
Teams and competition, anything like that. Peter, you have it, don't you?
Yeah.
Take it.
It seems that in a little town in Ireland, they lived 2 men who were both in love with the same girl. And one of these guys was named Red McGonagall. Oh, he had a flaming mop of hair. Looked like an evening sunset on a bowl of borscht, this thing. This great mop of flaming hair. And the other fellow was a little fellow by the name of Baldy Brannigan. And he had one of those scalps with ceiling zero on, you know, one of this guy looked like a Hibernian honeydew, no hair at all. So one night they're standing down as usual in the corner saloon down at Clancy's Copacabana down there, and then a couple of beers, and they get to arguing about the girl. And Big Red says, listen, you little weasel, he says, it comes to me ears that you've been taking out Mary Ellen again. Now she's practically engaged to me. I don't want you to do it no more. Do you hear that?
So Baldy looks up at him. He says, oh, is that so? Is that so? Oh, listen to the man, will you? He says, why, you big, fat, covered baboon, I'll take Mary Ellen out any time I please.
Oh, he says, you will you? Why, you little bald weasel, he says, for the life of me, I can't see how she goes out with the likes of you. You with double a hair on your head. She says, you know, you look as bald as a shillelagh. I'd like to ask you one thing. Where in the name of goodness were you when they were handing out hair?
The other guy says, where was I? Where was I when they was handing out hair? He says, me boy, I'll tell you. He says, I was around with the rest of them. But I told them I didn't want any hair because the only color they had left was like yours.
The score? On the Colgate Palm Olive Laugh Meter, 1,000, Peter. So you're out in front there for Mrs. France. Let's see who's first. Joe Lurie, Jr.
Well,
first.
Pete reminded me of one about two Irishmen. This I'm throwing in for nothing, Dennis.
Okay.
This is for free. This fella says, Cassidy meets Finnegan. He says, Finnegan, he says, I hear Pat took your girl away from you. He says, he did that. He did that. It was a case of incompatibility. He says, what do you mean, incompatibility? He says, well, you see, I was kissing Mary Ellen. And incompatible, he had more ability.
You threw that in.
I like those kind. I like those. Now, the one I want to tell is about this fella's on a buying trip in New York, and he's buying coats for his firm, and he goes all over, and finally gets into one man's place. He says, how much for the coats? He says, by the dozen. He says, yes, by the dozen. He says, I'm wholesale. He says, $100 a dozen for you. He says, $100 a dozen? He says, you know that rival place across the street? Selling their coats for $50 a dozen. He says, the same coat? He says, yes, the same coat for $50 a dozen. He says, it's a lie. He says, all right, it's a lie, but it's cheap, ain't it?
Well, the price might have been low, Joe, but the Colgate Palmolive of Lefty was up high. It was a 1,000. Harry Hirschfeld, you're next.
Well, of course, there's no rivalry as among salesmen. That's more than any. So a fella comes into a store, a business concern, and he said, I'd like to get a job here as a salesman. Fella said, are you a good salesman? He says, I am the best salesman in the world. Well, he said, that's a big thing if you say you're the best salesman in the world. Well, I says, I'll test it. You see these big boxes of cigars that I got here? I've had them here now for 1 year. Go out and sell these. He says, all right, I'll take them out. So every place he went with the cigars, says, take those stinkeroos out of here. No place could he sell the cigars. After 4 hours, he came back and he said, with the cigar, he says, I got one little correction to make. I am not the best salesman in the world. I'm the second best salesman. The guys who sold you these stinking cigars, he's the best salesman.
Well, Harry, you proved that you're a salesman. You sure sold the gag. 1,000. That leaves you, Ward, with another perfect round of the making.
Oh, that's all I have to do, huh?
Yep.
I'm going in the Audubon Society for mine. I'm thinking of another kind of a rival. This woman had two parrots. One was very talkative and very cute. The other one never said a thing, but they were great pals in the same room. And the non-talkative parrot died. So she was in the jam. The other parrot wouldn't talk. He missed his mate around there. So she went down to the pet store and she said, I'd like to get another parrot, preferably one that doesn't talk to match up with a bird that I have. So he's so cute that he's developed one trait. Every time a man comes in the house, he looks around and he says, oh, somebody's going to get kissed tonight. And she said, I just can't get anything out of it since the other parrot died. He said, well, I don't happen to have a parrot on hand. He said, you could take this owl over here for a few days and then bring him back and I'll trade him. So she said, all right, I'll do that. So she took the owl home and put it in the cage that was formerly occupied by the other parrot. And the parrot immediately took a terrific dislike to this owl, kept looking over at him all the time, wondering what that was in the other cage. So that evening, the doorbell rang and the woman went to the door, opened the door, and a man walked in. The parrot perked up its ears and looked around and said, oh, somebody's going to get kissed tonight. With that, the owl looked around and said, whoo, whoo. Parrot looked back and he said, not you, you flat-faced son of a gun.
Well, it's all according to which punchline we count, War, but it makes no difference because the first one got a 1,000 and the follow-up line got a 1,000, too, so that was more than a perfect round. We had 5 1,000s in it. We're going to send Mrs. France $25 with the compliments of Palmolive Shave Creams plus a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air. Now, boys, before we go into the next round, I'd like to take the time to talk to the people for a little while. Before we go into it, I'd like to ask all of you to compete in this weekly gag fest. All jokes told by Peter Donald have been submitted by our listeners, so send your favorite joke to Can You Top This care of NBC New York or the station to which you're listening. Of course, in cases of similarity, we'll have to be the sole judges of who is paid. In every case, the decision of the judges is final. Laughs are registered on the big Colgate Palmolive Laugh Meter in full view of the studio audience. Our three wits have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes to make them fit the subject. All right, now let's continue with the laughs. The next joke comes from Mrs. Lillian H. Appleton of Brookline, Massachusetts. and it's on the subject of gossip. We'll get a lot of female impersonations now. But go ahead, Peter Donald.
Well, this happened in a little southern town, and Sam met Willie. Said, hello there, Willie. Said, boy, congratulate me. Slip me a handful of fingers, man.
Oh, so congratulations. A man you created, what for?
Well, he says, son, I can see you don't listen to the gossip around. You don't read the society columns. He says, you looking at a man who just got married again.
He says, boy, you funning with me? Who's going to marry an old widower like you with 8 children?
Well, he said, I done made the happiest woman in the world out of the widow Oglethorpe. She done got 9 children herself.
He says, boy, you call that a marriage?
Well, he said, what else is it?
He says, man, when a fellow with 8 children marries a woman with 9 children, son, that ain't no marriage. That's a merger.
Well, I heard your merger, Pete. 1,000 on the Colgate-Palmolive laugh meter. That puts you out in front. Who have we got here? One hand up, and it belongs to Harry Hirschfield.
I want to throw this in quick. I heard that there was a scandal in a radio studio the other day. They caught a disc jockey trying to dope a record. But a goofy old one is about the... on a hot summer's day in an asylum in a goofy joint, there's a fella, kind of a goofy guy with a bucket of green paint, and he's painting the grass with the green paint. So a fella coming along with an automobile sees that and said, what are you doing there? He said, there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong at all. He said, I'm just so they know where I am, but I'm here for another purpose. I heard some historians the other day, they were gossiping and talking about that right on this place is gold buried long time ago. And he said, of course I can't get away, but he said, if you want to go ahead and get it, and I'll give you all the directions, you go over there and get it. And he said, we'll split 50-50. He said, from what I heard him say, it's there. You go 150 feet straight, then you turn for 30 feet right, and then you turn left, and you'll see a tree, then 10 feet to the tree, and you dig down 25 feet and 40 feet wide. So the fella goes, and then comes back about 8 hours. He said, I didn't find any gold. He said, I dug there just like I went 150 feet, and I dug the 25 feet, the 40 feet, and there was no gold. He said, you did it? He said, yes. He says, take a brush, brother, start painting with me.
You do it too. 1,000. Put too many O's in there, I think. Go ahead, Ward, you take it.
I'm thinking about what happened to my wife and I on our honeymoon. We went down to Virgin Isles in January and got down to the Blackbeard Castle Inn down in St. Thomas. And the little colored fellow was a wonderful servant down there. He did everything for us, met us at the airport. So before we get up to the hotel, I said, now, Sam, when we get up to the hotel, be sure you take all those labels off the bags and don't be gossiping around the place about us being just married or anything. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't tell anybody we're married and get all signs of it out of the way, will you? He says, yes, and Mr. Wilson, I'll do that. So we get up to the hotel and unpack, and we're there a couple of days. And every time we came out for meals, people were in little cliques, gossiping, and, you know, that double talk that they give behind your back. Nobody said, hello, how are you, how do you do, or anything. So after 2 days of that, I finally got Sam aside. I said, Sam, what's the matter with you? I specifically told you when we landed we didn't want to be known as newlyweds down here. I asked you, please, not to tell anybody we're married, and obviously you have. He said, no, son, Mr. Wilson, that ain't right. It's just the opposite is true. I've been telling everybody you're just good friends, that's all.
Just waiting till the honeymoon is over, Ward. That's all. 1,000. Joe, you got a topper?
Yeah, well, I don't know about topper. I'm glad to even think of one. But here's one for free, too. This is bargain night. I don't care. There's Mrs. Casey, Mrs. Doyle meeting. Mrs. Casey says, Mrs. Doyle, this is a nice way you've been gossiping about me. She says, what do you mean gossiping about you? She says, you're telling everybody I'm a dirty housekeeper. She says, I did not. She says, you certainly did. The gossip is all over the neighborhood that I'm a dirty housekeeper. She says, I didn't say that at all. So what did you say? She says, I said, all I said was, that if I was a roach, I would know where to live. But the one I want to tell about the goof, his father comes home and he says, I'm ashamed of you, son. He says, I'm ashamed of you. He says, what's the matter, Pop? He says, oh, it's a gossip all over the neighborhood. All you're thinking about is women, women. Morning, noon, and night, all you talk about is women, thinking women, women. It's all you got on your mind. Don't you have anything else on your mind? He says, yeah, buses. He says, why buses? He says, because there's women on them. Oh.
you like those kinds.
He's the one who does.
Well, he did it, though. Buses or no buses, it was a
double-decker bus. It had to reach 1,000.
It was another 1,000, another perfect round. So we're sending Mrs. Appleton $25 with the compliments of Colgate Dental Cream, plus a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling the story on the air. And now here's Ron Rawson with an important message.
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. No other toothpaste does a better job of cleaning teeth than Colgate Dental Cream. For Colgate Dental Cream has a safe polishing agent that cleans your teeth both gently and thoroughly, brings out their natural sparkle and beauty. You can actually see and feel the difference. And scientific tests prove that Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. Yes, actual scientific tests prove conclusively that in 7 out of 10 cases, Colgate instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Colgate Dental Cream is famous for its wonderful wake-up flavor, too. Nationwide tests of leading toothpaste prove that Colgate is preferred for flavor over every other brand tested. Yes, preferred over every other brand tested. And no wonder, for Colgate Dental Cream is the result of constant effort to produce the finest toothpaste in the world today. For cleaning teeth, for flavor, for sweetening breath. So see if you don't agree with the millions who have made Colgate Dental Cream America's favorite toothpaste. Try Colgate Dental Cream to bring out the natural sparkle and beauty of your teeth for a wake-up flavor you'll thoroughly enjoy. And always use Colgate Dental Cream after you eat and before every date to clean your breath while you clean your teeth.
All right, gentlemen, if you're all ready, we'll start again. Here's a joke sent in by Maurice Sir, and I'm going to spell that because I don't want to mispronounce anyone's name. It's C-Y-R, I believe it's pronounced Sir, of Westport, Connecticut. It's on the subject of lecture. So start lecturing, Peter Donald.
Well, it's about a well-known explorer and a world traveler, this Sir Cummerbundup Creek, and he's talking at a ladies' club one day. And as he gets to the close of his address, he says, "Now, ladies, as I have described the wonders of the globe to you, I've described all the strange habits of the various peoples of the continents of the world, including the mystic habits and customs of that little group that lives in territory known as Yob-Saratan." Yob-Saratan. That's Nature Boy spelled backwards. "Now," he said, "I'm concluding my lecture," he said, "on the landmarks of the world." He said, "I should like to ask some questions. Is there anyone here who can name some of the historic landmarks and wonders of the world?"
So in the back of the room, little Mrs. Poputnik put up her hand.
And she said, "Ooh, Professor, ooh." She said, I could name you a couple things.
He said, "Very well, madam. Will you cry, please?"
"Well," she says, "first over in Egypt, it's right on the edge of the Hirschfeld Desert."
He says, "The what? The Hirschfeld Desert?"
She said, yeah, that's the Sahara they got over there, the Sahara. She says, they got a monument there. They call it the, you should excuse the expression, Sphinx. And she says, this is looking sort of like a tiger until you come up the front, is turning into a beautiful girl with bobbed hair. It's like a pussycat is swallowing Lana Turnip or something. It's very beautiful."
He said, "That's very good. Now, can you name any other wonders of the world?" He said, "Any of the famous towers?"
"Yeah," she said, "I could. Also, they got in London a tower, and he says, by Paris is also a tower, and they got likewise a tower in a place called Pisa."
He said, "That's right." He says, "That's the Leaning Tower." "Now," he says, "madam, can you tell me, what makes it lean?"
She said, "Ooh, is that a dopey question? Ooh, is that a dopey question?"
He says, "Why is it, as you say, a dopey question?"
She says, "What makes the tower lean?" She says, "Listen, Buster, I weigh 230 pounds. If I knew what made the tower lean, I would take some myself, believe me."
You made the joke good and fat and good and solid for a 1,000. So, Mr. Well, they get the Tower of Pisa out of the system first. Pete, did you get the score? I know that it was very, very good and solid last. Did you get it? It was a 1,000, so you can just settle back and relax. Mr. Sir is in for $25, sir. First, it's Ward Wilson.
I was thinking of the fellow in the penal institution who was pretty good guy to have around the place, except that he had one terrible habit and seemed to be incorrigible with it. Every time they'd give him a prison uniform, they'd come by at the end of the day and he had it all ripped to shreds, all torn to pieces. And they give him a new uniform the next day. Did his work all right, but by nighttime they come back and his prison uniform's all torn to shreds again. So they finally went to the chaplain of the prison said, why don't you go down and talk to this man, see if you can't do something with him. So he went down to the cell, and he said, now, look, Charlie, he said, you've been a good member of our little community here. He said, you've done your work well, and you're coming along fine, except that this tearing of uniforms must stop. He said, you're wasting all the taxpayers' money, and it isn't doing you any good. He said, now, I'll make you this promise. If you go along without tearing your uniforms for a while now, we'll make you a trustee, and then you'll be able to go around the grounds and have some freedom.
It's all right.
So Monday, they watched his cell, and by evening, same uniform, perfect. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, well, everybody's feeling very good about the whole thing. Sunday evening, they went to check up on his cell. Here's the uniform, all torn to shreds again. The chaplain from the prison came down and said, now, Charlie, look. All week long, you've been wonderful. You've kept your uniforms. We come down tonight, you spoil the whole thing, tearing this thing all in shreds again. Why do you do that?
He says, what do you mean? I got to work on Sunday, too?
Well, he only got paid half pay, Ward. It was $500 on the $1,000 Kirk meter, yes. All right, let's see. Who's next? No hands? Yes. Belongs to Joe Lloyd, Jr. Go ahead.
Well, this woman was lecturing a little class and a lot of little kids on the Lower East Side. And she was lecturing about mothers. And she says, mother is the foundation of the home. A mother is the soul and heart of the home. What is stronger than mother's love? And a kid jumps up and says, father's breath.
Nothing stronger than your gag either, Joseph. The Colgate Palmolive Laugh Meter set a 1,000, and Harry, it's your turn to take it.
Finnegan was going to go to a lecture. A historical lecture, so he read the encyclopedia to get some facts. And they were offering prizes. And finally they said to Finnegan, this lecturer said, who built the pyramids? When and where? He says, Menecles, 5,000 years ago, 4th dynasty, Egypt. Lecturer says, who was the foreman on that job? Finnegan thought a minute, says, night or day shift.
Guys are going back to the Middle Ages, prehistoric days for these gags, and they're coming out all right. Harry, that was a big round 1,000 on the Colgate Palmolive Laugh Meter, too. So that completes another round. Of course, Pete got a 1,000 from Mr. Sir first. So we're going to send Mr. Sir $25 with the compliments of Colgate Dental Cream, plus a phonograph record of Peter Donald telling a story on the air. I want to congratulate you, gentlemen. You really did a job tonight.
I want to congratulate you, too. You did a good job, too, didn't you? Very good job.
That is not... That does it. Join Can You Toughness, friends, originated by Senator Ford. Next week, same time, same gang. Other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Ward Wilson for Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Lawrie Jr.
Peter Donald.
Dennis James.
And Dan Donaldson saying goodnight for the Colgate Palmolive Peat Company, makers of Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, and Palmolive Brushless Shave Cream for a smoother, more comfortable way to shave.
Soft, glamorous dream girl hair, try Luster Cream Shampoo. Not a soap, not a liquid, but a dainty new cream shampoo. In tubes or jars, whichever you prefer. Be a dream girl, a Luster Cream girl.
Dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream Shampoo.
Be sure to tune in to Judy Canova and the old professor Kay Kaiser over most of these same stations tomorrow night. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.